Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Burr, and it's time for the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, August 6th, 2018. What's going on? How are you? How you doing? I am back. I am back in Los Angeles. You know what I like about Los Angeles now? Everywhere else I go is just as hot as here, but it's not as nice. Oh, everybody walking around sweating their balls off. You know, you might as well be out here in Hollywood with all the real people, the forward-thinking, progressive people. How we push the needle, we change the needle, we drive the sled, whatever the fuck we're always saying about ourselves. And you won't find anybody out here more phonier than me. Okay, I'm telling you that right now. You're gonna meet me, and you're gonna be like, "Wow, that guy is so down to earth." And I want you to know, it is all an act. Okay? You're not on my level. Sorry. Anyways, I just got back from, I did Rochester, New York. I believe that's the first time I did a gig out there. Did it with Dean Del Rey. Dean Del Rey murdering, you know, stealing the spotlight. Everybody fucking, you know, flipping out about him. You know, he's so interesting with his glasses and his tattoos. And I just come out, right? Fucking old Milquetoast Freddy, right? Nobody cares. No, I had a great time. I had a great time with that crowd. What a beautiful fucking goddamn town. What a gorgeous... Why couldn't I just say it was a beautiful town? What a beautiful effing GD town. I have got to stop cursing around my kid. I have to do that. I'm starting to do it with adults where I just say like, yeah, and the effing guy's an a-hole. And then I just go, sorry, I got a kid. I need to practice. But is that any better? Because then my kid's going to be walking around like, yeah, he's an effing a-hole, right? It's people are still going to be like, I don't know. It probably would still be adorable. Because I have to tell you, I just came home and it was her nap time. But I was expecting her to be asleep, but it was 5 minutes into her nap time. But we have her on a schedule. And so I figured for sure she'd be taking a nap. And I came home and she wasn't. I was like tiptoeing in the house and I just heard these little feet come running out. Da, 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 da. It is the best. It's the best thing ever. One of the few things in life that is not overhyped. Having a kid is the greatest thing ever. So anyways, Rochester, New York. Gorgeous, right? So I get there. And first thing I see is a giant brick factory. Giant factory, smokestacks, the whole thing. There's a little bit of steam coming out of one of them. But, you know, we're flying in and I'm looking down and I, you know, I'm doing all this. I have a private pilot's license. So I'm looking at the clouds, trying to guess what's going on here. There's a bunch of like, you know, patches of clouds, little poof here, little poof there, little poof. So what does that tell me? That tells me that there's a lot of uneven air there, that we're going to have a little turbulence. Okay. Cause the air is being pushed up in certain areas. It's not just straight across. If it was straight across and it was even and they weren't like all big and puffy, you'd think, okay, that's kind of some smooth fucking air there, right? I don't know if I'm right. Ground school was a long time ago and I fly out here in L.A. and there's really no weather unless you go along the coast every once in a while. So I look down and I see this factory. And like I said, it looks like an old school thing. They brew in some beer. Are they making some steel? What are they doing there? And I looked down, and there was this giant empty parking lot. Couldn't see any cars. And so I was like, you know, they'll just turn that into lofts. Everything just gets turned into a place to live. You know, a place where we made something or was a place to go do something. They'll just take it, and they'll turn it into lofts. And it's just like, we kept a lot of the character of this place where we used to make things. So would you like to move into this luxury apartment with your Gucci bags, even though you're only making 50 grand a fucking year, whatever the fuck it is, people, please don't be that person, everybody, because old Freckles had, I got a bad feeling, man. It's like things are not adding up out there. Everybody is walking around with these Kardashian level outfits, or a lot of people are. And the amount of fucking 20-somethings I see driving around in BMWs, it's like, does everybody have a fucking rich dad out there? You're driving around in a BMW, okay, with your fucking Gucci glasses and all of this shit. And then this is the thing. Nobody's at work. There's traffic 24/7. I looked at a census. The population really isn't, at least the legal population, isn't really growing in this country. And I think if you're an illegal, I don't think you're driving around in a fucking BMW attracting all kinds of attention to yourself. So unless everybody's a fucking Uber driver. But then where are they driving all those people during the day? They're all late for work? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. This happens. This happens like every fucking once every 10 years. You know, first time I saw it was in the 80s. Everybody was doing blow. All the yuppies, everybody was fucking walking around with the Rolex and all of this fucking shit. And then right there, Fred, over. All of a sudden, you had nothing left in your nose like you've been boxing for 20 years. Right? Skinny ties are out. Z Cavarici jeans are in. You're a fucking cokehead. You fucked up your whole life, and they repossessed your BMW. Then in the 90s, right, it was a little rough time there, And then, you know, Bill Clinton came in. According to the Democrats, he turned it all around. He saved it. There was a zero fucking, you know, we had no debt. He got us out of debt. You know, of course, you know, he used a couple of vaginas as a humidor. But, you know, everybody's going to have their faults. What was he supposed to do? Balance the budget, play the saxophone, and not fuck around on his wife? I mean, something's got to give. And I'm telling you that right now as a sober fucking person who has not drank since June. Something has got to give. You know, maybe you go out, you know, maybe you don't give into the booze. Okay? Maybe you don't bang an intern. All right? But if you, and you lay off the ice cream and you don't watch internet porn. And you're going to paint yourself into a corner. And next thing you know, you're driving down the street, talking to yourself, going, am I really going to go out here and I guess do a thrill kill? Is that what I'm going to do? Am I going to kill a hitchhiker right now to just somehow inject some sort of a rush into my life, right? Sorry. Anyways, I'm coming off the wagon tomorrow for one day, only. Me and Joe DeRosa. I'll tell you right now, if our livers could talk, they would say, let me up. Throw in the towel. Get off of me. I don't know what they would say, but they would give us a fucking, a thrashing, if they could speak. Anyways, that sounds like a fucking book. If your organs could speak, right? And you just stretch it out over like, you know, how many organs do you have? Like 10? You know, one day's your liver. Next day's your kidneys. You know. And then one day it's your dick. All right, what would your dick say to you? You know, nothing smart. You know, your dick's never going to be like, why did we fuck that girl? You know, your fucking, your brain says that. Your dick never says that. Your dick, well, I mean, she was there. Anyways. I'm trying, pancreas is just, would be like the fucking, just the grizzled vet, you know, union toll booth worker, just sitting there with a cigarette dangling out of his fucking mouth. Doesn't give a shit, right? It's getting close to retirement. I think your kidneys would be the most progressive and annoying. If you could just drink some more water. Sorry. Anyways. So then after, what is it? After Rochester, I then drove down, beautiful, beautiful drive from Rochester all the way down into Western Pennsylvania and then down into Youngstown, which I'd never gone to. And I always thought Youngstown was like 3 hours away from Ohio. It's like an hour and a half. I thought Akron was way down there too. I thought they were way down the fucking east side down near Pittsburgh and shit, but they're not. They're right there. So I got to go to famous Youngstown. Didn't get to see shit. I came in. I saw that there was some sort of Italian feast festival going on in the streets, which I would have loved to partake in. But I'm on my diet. okay? I'm getting my revenge body, everybody. No, I'm sticking to my diet here. I'm actually doing really well with it. Until this morning, I couldn't find a place in the airport that had oatmeal, so I got some bacon and eggs with hash browns and toast. But every other meal I ate the way I was supposed to be eating. So whatever, that was my one fuck up. And you don't have a cheat day, you have a cheat meal. So that was a cheat fucking meal. I got on the plane, and the fucking stewardess was like, I always have my headphones on, right? And so she's got a wave in front of me, and I go, yes. And she goes, what would you like to drink? I said, water with ice. I go, that's all I want. That's all I want. I'm good. All right. And 5 seconds later, she's waving at me again. Would you like the breakfast? I almost got mad at her. Like, how the fuck did she know that that's what I meant for the whole flight? So I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good. I'll just have the fucking water. You don't want anything? Did I say I wanted something? I didn't say that, but I thought it, and I could tell she was good at reading people, and she sensed it, and she's like, this guy's a douche. And you know what's funny was I was still wearing my suit and tie that I had worn at the Rough and Rowdy taping the night before, because I just didn't feel like packing the suit. And every once in a while, if you have a backpack and a little wheelie carry-on, if you also have the garment bag, there'll be somebody like the Dudley Do-Right. You know, like the cop in the middle of nowhere that has no excitement, so they got to like fucking, you know, see how far away from the curb you parked so they can give you a ticket. Someone will say, I'm sorry, sir, you have 3 items. And, you know, and then she puts me, okay, in the position to say, oh, excuse me, ma'am, I'm flying first class. I'm allowed to break the rules. Okay, I go to your Sky Lounge. Do you understand? Do you have any idea what the fuck my dad does? She puts me in that position. Or he. But I never say that. But I definitely think it. And that's what makes me down to earth, is I don't say the things that I think. So then the world has no idea how fucking arrogant I am. See that? That's how that works. But you got to have a little bit of arrogance in life. If you don't, then no one's ever going to make a statue of you. That's how it works. So we're all waiting to line up, and they're doing the usual thing. Anybody active military duty, anybody with kids, anybody with less than 4 limbs, you can board the plane now and all this shit. Nobody budges. I'm like, oh, great. Here comes group one. And all of a sudden, this fucking dude, right? Bald. He's got the horseshoe, you know, buzzed down, but he didn't shave the rest of it. Walks by perfectly fine. No camouflage, no fucking limbs missing, no kids. You know, can see. He's not deaf. He just walks by all of us. He goes, hey, how you doing? The guy goes, hey, what's up? And he just fucking beeps his thing and gets on the fucking plane. It's like, who the fuck was that? Was that the pilot? Is he going to put on his little fucking outfit once he gets down the jetway there? I don't know. Anyways, you would know I had a great weekend. So I get on the goddamn plane, and I'm like, you know, I didn't get a lot of sleep because the Rough and Rowdy event was fucking unbelievable. And I am going to talk to you about that, all right? But it's going to be a great story here. So I'm sort of teasing that. So you continue. Oh, wait, you could fast forward through all of this. I'm really into me TV and old movies right now. I just go through these phases, and I was watching this The Postman Always Rings Twice, which I remember from the 80s, and I thought it was an original Brian De Palma film. I didn't know he remade it, but it kind of seems like he took the name of the movie and then he like switched it up. He did the Jimmy Page, you know what I mean? Like, if Robert Plant just switched the lyrics, they wouldn't have had a fucking problem, because for a lot of those songs that Jimmy got in trouble for, he changed the arrangement enough that if Robert just switched up the lyrics a little bit, I believe it when he says that, he wouldn't have gotten in trouble or sued that many fucking times. So anyways, plowing ahead, I'm watching this thing, and just some of the shit that they say to women in these things. This guy was in love with this woman, and they were trying to plot killing her husband. And at some point, they came up with the idea, and they thought it was a good idea, and they could get away with it, and they were excited. And he just grabs both her arms and he goes, now kiss me before I sock you. And that was considered amusing back then because guys didn't know how to express love. But there were guys beating women. Were there guys beating women? When did beating women become a fad? Like, when did that first happen? I know grunge was in the early 90s. I'll have to look that up. And I'm going to leave that open-ended, too, because somebody's going to post that, and then somebody's going to be like, you know, is Bill Burr really that? Anyways, and then I was watching 77 Sunset Strip, my favorite fucking show on TV. And I'm into the first season where they have, like, the matinee idol-looking guy, and Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. He's, like, not even in episodes. And what somebody was saying was he was basically the Steve Urkel of 77 Sunset Strip. They got him in there, and then he just kept getting more and more and more lines, and he just fucking took over. And then they phased everybody else out. So anyways, the Dreamboat guy there, the lead of the show, he meets this woman. She goes, I'm convinced my husband's trying to kill me. He's having an affair with his secretary. The brake lines were cut on my car. He almost accidentally hit me with his boat. And I think he tried to poison me when he made me a drink. And what's funny is this woman is gorgeous. And this guy, he's got to be 40 years older than her. And which amazed me that this guy was already going to trade her in, you know, because that's what those guys do. They just sort of collect them like cars. So not saying there's anything wrong with that. You know, there's nothing wrong with objectifying a woman if it's that obvious. You know what I mean? Because she's what's the material? I guess gold digging you. You know, it's like, I know you're here for this stuff and you know I'm here. So you look good on my arm and I can, you know, fuck something that doesn't even remotely look the way I do naked. It's an arrangement. But what happens, because there's no love there, somebody always ends up pulling the plug first and then it gets fucking ugly. So anyway, she goes, this guy's trying to kill me. She goes, I'm convinced he's having, he's having an affair with his secretary. So he goes down over to the office to investigate, right? And he comes walking in, and you know he's about ready to meet a woman because the saxophone starts playing, which was what they always did back there, right? They just play this song. This beautiful Asian woman comes walking out, and they just, it's his secretary. She comes out, and the saxophone does that. Right? He's always hitting on him and shit. And this is his opening line to her. He goes, yes. He goes, they told me your boss imported Oriental art. I have to agree. That's what he said. The sad thing is that same shit is still said in a Hooters every fucking night by a man of a certain age. And then he grabbed her and said, now kiss me before I sock you. You know what's funny? That's one of the first things I said to Nia when I first came home. You know? It's just some lines are too good. You just have to repeat them. So anyways, let's get into Rough and Rowdy. Number 4 from Youngstown. Unbelievable night. I don't think, I'm telling you, I can't even believe I get paid to do that shit. It's just like, it's so much fucking fun. And I don't know. It's just, you're just hanging out, watching people beat the shit out of each other. What's not to like? Like, I don't know. You just sit there watching the fights. And even the ones that are bad, they're hilarious. First of all, the fight card started off, it had two brothers, like blood brothers, fighting each other. And in their promo videos, one was saying that my mother never loved me. You know, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, this guy's the victim of the family. And then his brother gets on and confirms it. Goes, yeah, she fucking hates him. You know, always hated him. Right? All he does is sit around and play video games, and I'm in the National Guard, and I'm out here crushing it. So the brother, when in his, you know, little, Ric Flair sort of promo video, he said that the military's overrated. They're soft. It's fucking hilarious. Trashing his brother, and then they went out there, and they beat the shit out of each other, and I had to root for the older brother. Because there's this unwritten rule I don't know if it's something somebody told me or I just how I felt. You can never let your younger brother beat you up. You just cannot. You cannot ever let that happen. You have to be in the mindset of, you know, you're going to have to murder me and I know you don't want to go to jail. That's where you have to be mentally. You just can't have it. You cannot fucking let that happen. And I sat there and I watched it happen on pay-per-view. And I got to tell you, as an older brother, it made me sick. Great fight, though. A couple of Youngstown firemen. Jesus Christ. One went in there and just fucking knocked this guy out. It was the first time I saw a guy really get knocked out where he went to get back up again and went back down again. First of all, when he first went down, he was doing that thing. Do you know how Bill Gates tried to do? What's that thing that the guy from the Carolina Panthers would do after a touchdown? It was a really easy sort of move, which is why white people had ruined it so quickly. You sort of bring your arms out to the side. Dapping? Is that what they call it? Yeah, he looked like he was doing that the way Bill Gates did, where he didn't have his elbow bent. He just draped it across his eyes like the sun was beaming down there. He was laying there like that. And then he rolled over and he went to get up. And he went fucking back down again. And it was, yeah. That happened. And then, what else? What were some of the other highlights? Oh, Pig versus Punk. The cop fighting the skateboarder. The skateboarder proved he was a punk. He didn't show up. So at the last second, they got a bouncer. So you got a cop and you got a bouncer. Who's kidding who? A bouncer is just a cop that never went pro. Right? So it's a lot of overlap. So they fucking get it in the ring. And oh my, the cop, first of all, I didn't realize he had lost his job because he did a drive along or ride along, whatever the fuck you call it. And somehow the mayor got wind of it. He didn't fucking like it. So they fired the guy. And I got to tell you, Barstool Sports paid 2 years of the guy's salary. And anyways, he went in there and Jesus Christ. And this was he fought a bouncer. Now granted, the guy didn't fucking have any time to prepare, and it looked like it. Holy shit. This guy was fast, strong, knew what the fuck he was doing, had decent footwork. I mean, you figure, you know, they're cops. They did teach him some of that MMA shit, little stand-up, little how to choke a guy out or whatever. And he beat the shit out of this fucking guy. But I got to tell you, the bouncer could take a punch, man. He ate all of them. Until the last one. And then that was kind of it. And then the cop got off out of the ring. And everyone's going like, reinstate, reinstate. Like, give him his fucking job back. And then he proceeded in the post-interview, I think, to ruin any chance of ever getting a job as a cop anywhere. They said to him, they go, hey, so are you upset, you know, that the mayor, you know, stepped in and said to your police chief, either it's you or him, are you upset with him? Now, what he should have said was like, listen, there's a lot of variables involved. I have respect for the office of the mayor and the mayor himself. He did what he felt was best, and I'm not going to argue with that. I'm just happy to have the opportunity to come down here and give the people of Youngstown some entertainment. That's what he should have said, but he didn't. Like, are you upset with the mayor? He's just like, I don't give a shit. Yeah, I was fucking mad. And I brought that fucking anger in there. And he's just like, all right. That's a wrap on the criminal justice. Well, who knows? I will just say the tape is out there. So if anybody ever, like, were to do some sort of, I don't know, internet search on him. But I think they kind of just checked to see, you know, if you were watching any porn. You know, isn't that kind of where they go? I have no idea. And then the end, the highlight, the headlining match, Gay Pat versus the two-time convicted felon homophobe. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, Pat McAfee, former punter of the cunty Indianapolis Colts. Dude, that guy absolutely crushed it. He was the MC for all they had like four or five major fights, and he would go into the ring and do the announcements, and he was fucking hilarious. Hilarious. This one guy went in, his name was Edward Robinson II, and he was like, standing in the red corner in the sloppy gray shorts, And he goes to this whole fucking thing. He would like make fun of you. And then he says the guy's name. He says, Edward Robinson II. The second. There was more than one. I'm butchering his delivery. But he just the way he fucking ripped apart the fact that this guy went by the second, the fact that he repeated the second again and then tagged it with there was more than one, just so intelligently and so succinctly fucking basically says what everybody thinks when they hear the second. It's like, who gives a fuck? Why are you acting like you're Henry VIII? You know, like you're some fucking king. You're just some fucking jackass. Nobody gives a fuck. And then he did that too with the felon. He is a two-time convicted felon. He was fucking unbelievable. Unfucking believable. So anyways, Gay Pat goes in there. And I'm not going to lie to you, everybody was nervous. Because it was, you know, it was this guy, you know, he's saying all this fucking homophobic shit. I know he was also playing a role. He was also helping, you know, sell the fight and everything. But, like, nobody wanted to see that, you know. And I was really happy that the whole crowd was on Pat's side. They were chanting his name, Gay Pat, right? And, oh, my God, I almost forgot fucking Raccoon Boy. This guy went by Raccoon Boy. He would wear a fucking raccoon hat like Davy fucking Crockett. And for whatever reason, he came down the aisle in a trash can. One of those recycle fucking trash cans. He was in there peeking out like a fucking raccoon. And they wheeled him down while they did his intro. And then he tried to get his big body out of there with boxing gloves on. And it was some of the best comedy I've seen in a while. He was very upset that they didn't let him wear his leather vest, which I thought in a very subtle way was him giving support to Gay Pat, because it was very Al Pacino cruising. It didn't look like a biker vest. I guess when you're shirtless, you know, he looked like a fat Freddie Mercury. You know, if Freddie lived and continued to eat steak bombs, or started, I should say. He was always in good shape, right? So anyways, and he went in there and he got exterminated. There was another one. They had these two fat guys fight. And one of the fat guys was beating the shit out of the other guy who went by the Dale Show. And his name was not Dale. And he was getting the shit kicked out of him. And then the other dude had to stop because he was so fat that the headgear was choking him. And what killed me was it was like sort of looked like it was underneath the bottom of his jaw. But who am I to say that it wasn't? It was probably the combination of the strap under the jaw and the 8 pounds of blubber around the guy's neck. And there was a lot of fucking wild-eyed people getting pumped up and then wasting their energy trying to turn fear into courage. You know, like there was one guy, he came out and he's just swinging wildly and he got a couple of punches in and then like his headgear got messed up. So they had to, you know, have a quick stoppage. And as they were fixing it, he was going like, yeah, like flipping out. I'm like, whoa, this guy's fucking crazy. And then I don't think he landed another punch for the rest of the fight. I think he let out all of that fucking energy and that was over. So anyways, and this is all coming from a guy who would get the shit kicked out of him by any of these people, okay? So anyways, Gay Pat comes in and he was just totally fucking calm. Went in there and then I saw the convict go in. I'm like, he's not that big. He's only 5'8", 180, so he's a little stocky, but he's not that tall. And Gay Pat is 6'4", 180. So they weighed the same. So everybody knew that the convict was going to bull rush him and everything. And I got to tell you, Gay Pat fought a filthy fight. Mayweather would have been envious with the amount of elbows this guy threw. Forearms to the face. He was leaning on him. He used his height. He had a tremendous fucking strategy. His corner was great. They trained him, and he came out with the victory. And he got some good shots in there, too. It was great. It was one of the and it was such a fucking relief that he won. Because, yeah, I was getting nervous that if he just came in and took an overhand right and was knocked out really bad and the crowd was actually against him, like, that could have got really ugly. So kind of dancing between the raindrops on that one. But I want to thank everybody at Barstool Sports for letting me do that. I literally, when I saw the arena, and just I just started smiling. Like, I can't believe, you know, I go to a zillion sporting events. I've always wanted to be in the broadcast booth. Now, I know this is, you know, not at the professional level, but neither am I. So the next one is going to be in Kentucky, outside this one, like the Thriller in Manila. It's going to be outside. This is going to be at a baseball stadium. I believe it's October 5th in Kentucky. Unfortunately, I don't think I'm going to be able to make that one because I believe I have gigs. I think I'm in Connecticut and Boston that weekend. But I'm definitely going to rent it. Okay? You get it for $15 a few days, right up until the day of the fight. Day of the fight, it's fucking 1995. I'm telling you. Tremendous night of entertainment. Anyways, all right. So now that I've done that, I'm going to read a little bit of advertising here, and then we're going to talk Red Sox, Yankees. And New York fans, hang in there. Okay? Don't think I'm going to talk about this the way ESPN did. All right? I am not in that business. All right. Framebridge, everybody. If you've been listening to this show, you've heard me talk about Framebridge. They make it super easy and affordable to frame your favorite things, from art, prints, and posters to travel photos sitting on your phone. Here's how it works. I just did this for all my fifth turning 50, pictures of me and my wife in Paris and all that shit, all that great trip that we had. I just sent them all the stuff. I'm supposed to be getting it this week. All right, just go to framebridge.com and upload your photo, or they'll send you packaging to safely mail in your physical pieces. Come on, Bill. You can read out loud. Preview your item online in any frame style. Choose your favorite or get free recommendations from their talented designers. Well, what's your favorite color? The expert team at Framebridge will custom frame your item and deliver your finished piece directly to your door, ready to hang. Instead of the hundreds you pay at a framing store, their prices start at just $39, and all shipping is free. Plus, my listeners will get 15% off their first order at framebridge.com when they use my code BURR. Give your personal experience using Framebridge. I already fucking did. How dare you ask me to repeat myself, Framebridge? Get started today. Frame your photos or send the perfect gift for weddings, birthdays, and special events. Go to framebridge.com and use promo code BURR. You'll save an additional 15% off your first order. Just go to framebridge.com, promo code BURR, framebridge.com, promo code BURR. All right, Robin Hood. All right, what is this? Stealing from the rich and giving to the poor. What was the upside for him? Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, ETFs, options, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. Non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. Simple and intuitive, clear design with data presented in an easy-to-digest way. Other brokers charge up to $10 for every trade, but Robinhood doesn't charge. Oh, that's why. They don't charge as much. They don't charge commission fees. Trade stocks and keep all your profits, okay? Easy-to-understand charts and market data. Place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. So how do they make money? Robinhood web platform also lets you view stocks collections, 100 most popular selections like entertainment, social media, and curated categories like female CEOs. What, people invest just because they have a female CEO? Jesus Christ, this is just, it's fucking nuts now. And analyst ratings, so you can just do it, you can start buying stocks in a sexist way. And analyst ratings of buy, hold, slash sell for every stock. Learn how to invest to build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with personalized news feed. Custom notification for price movements so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Well, that's nice. Sign up at billburr.robinhood.com. That's Bill Burr, all caps, .robinhood.com. I like how they give you this stock, one free stock. It's like the drug dealer giving you a sample. Well, you like how that feels? We got some more over here. All right, Zip. Recruiter. You know, hiring used to be hot. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. But they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, Zip scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match again. Zip is so effective that 80% of employees who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. With results like that, I can't talk. It's no wonder that ZipRecruiter is the highest rated hiring site in America. And right now, my listeners can try Zip. .com for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Burr. Hey! ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. That's ZipRecruiter. I just imagine during that whole read, everybody's girlfriend or wife going, "This isn't funny. I don't understand how you laugh." MeUndies. Oh, ba-do-do-do. MeUndies, MeUndies. Fuck your fucking wife. Do-do-do-do. MeUndies, MeUndies. Tell her to get a life. Stop listening to me while I listen to this shit. I'll take out my dick and piss on your tit and put on some fucking soft underwear that rubs my balls better than you since we've been married. How about a blowjob every once in a while? All right, you've heard me obsess over MeUndies, over MeUndies. You've heard me talk about how they are three times softer than cotton and come with fun, new prints each month. But I've got a big scoop that I'm so excited to share with you all. MeUndies just gave their membership a massive upgrade. All those dirty old hole-ridden fucking disgusting underwear you've hung on to, it's time to throw them all out and give your top drawer the refresher it deserves. Each month. Yeah, if you keep your underwear for a long time and you're a single guy, like you've worn those through relationships. You've worn those, probably that same pair of underwear when you picked her up, broke up with her, and then met the next fucking chick. Each month, MeUndies will release a new executive print that only members can get. Well, I got to be equal opportunity. Women, you've probably wore those panties since you went down to the Virgin Island to get your fucking hair braided and banged some guy in the island but didn't count it because it was in a different country. These could be collaborations with artists, brands, or other unique designs you're going to definitely want to have. Members will also pay less for everything on the MeUndies website with special member pricing. That means if you want a second pair of undies, a bralette, or lounge pants, you'll pay less than anyone else. The membership comes with no strings attached, unless you want some kinky pair. You know, the women get like the laces up the crack of their ass. Nah, I don't think they make those over here. You can switch style. Did I say kinky? How old am I? Skip the month or cancel at any time. I love these undies, according to this copy. They are the softest underwear I've ever put on, according to them. And they come with fun prints that I can match with socks or a bralette. They come with 100% satisfaction guarantee. If you don't love them, then fuck you, man. Just send them back for a full refund. MeUndies have a great offer for my listeners, for any listeners, for anybody, for first-time purchasers. When you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. This is a no-brainer. Get 15% off a pair of the most comfortable undies you will ever put on. All right, and lastly but not leastly, thank God, man, I cannot fucking... My eyes are going. I'm old, and I've never been able to read out loud. All right, Stamps.com, everybody. The U.S. Postal Service is an important tool for any business. Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. Stamps.com never closes. Print postage for any letters or packages at your convenience 24/7. Print postage for any mail class right from your own computer. The exact amount of postage every time. Never underpay or overpay. Stamps.com saves you time and money which you can use to grow your GDF and business, you a-hole. See that? I'm practicing not cursing around my kid. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer, any printer. They'll send you a digital scale automatically that automatically calculates exact postage. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. No need to lease an expensive postage meter, and there are no long-term commitments. I use Stamps.com to send out all my posters that I'm selling on this tour. I'm a moron. If I can figure out how to do it, so can you. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in Burr. That's Stamps.com. Enter Burr. All right. Let's talk some baseball. Bump, 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 bump. The Red Sox sweep the Yankees. How about that? Four-game fucking sweep. We didn't have Chris Sale. They didn't have Aaron Judge. But the fucking luck was on our side. I thought if we were lucky, we were going to split with them. You know? And it was going to be, you know, I don't know what happened. It was just one of those things. We were hot. They were not. And they should have won certainly the last game. The last two games they should have won. They blew leads, and they fucking had a meltdown in the last one. So the Red Sox are now 9.5 games up. So what does that mean to people in sports radio and on ESPN and all that shit? You know what it means to them? The race is over. You know why it's over? Because we're up 9.5 games. There's 48 fucking games left. Probably even more. I just counted the games in August and in September. What in the fuck? I'm sitting there, what are these people talking about? Then it's like, oh yeah, that's right. They're in the job of overhyping shit. Hype it up to the fucking goddamn moon. And if it comes in, you look like a genius. And if it doesn't come in, then you got to be like, what happened to the Red Sox? What happened to this guy? What the fuck happened? They start acting like the teams that they hype said they were going to do what the fuck they said. And I understand it now because they are 24-hour sports network. So what the fuck are you going to do during these 16 hours a day when there's no fucking games going on? What are you going to do? You just got to go big. You got to say crazy shit so guys like me lose their fucking mind. Dude, the fucking Red Sox were up by like 16 or 18 games in August in 1978. The Yankees came to town. There was the Boston Massacre. We had the one-game playoff, and then it was over. The fucking the Mets were like 9 million games out. They came back in 1969. I don't have time to look all this. This fucking happens almost like, dude, the Red Sox were up by like 12, 13 games like 4 or 5 years ago, 2012, and we shit the bed. Didn't even make the fucking playoffs. So we had Valentine as a manager. Then the next year we won the World Series. So I don't even know what they're talking about here. This is far from over. We have 6 games left alone with the Yankees. We got 2 series, I believe, with the Cleveland Indians. Everybody's sleeping on Terry Francona and the Cleveland Indians. I still think Terry's the best manager in baseball. And what about the Houston Astros? They're no slouches either. And how about the fact that despite the fact the Yankees are 9.5 games out, there's still 6 games up in the wild card. So according to what I was watching, that dude Mike, box seat Mike, from the old Mike and Mike show, now he's on a different show, he was saying, according to him, it's essentially fucking over. Despite the fact that the Red Sox have blown leads historically 18, 12 games. We fucked this. This franchise alone has fucked it up twice in my life that I remember. I don't have time to look up the other ones, okay? And then, okay, so now using that logic, I don't mean to just put it on him because everybody was saying it, all right? Using just that fucking logic, the Yankees being up 6 games in the wild card, they only need to be up 6 games for another 2 weeks and then the wild card is over. Is that how the math works? That's another thing too. All the Yankees got to do is just keep playing the way they've been playing all year and they're going to win the wild card. Okay? Which means then we all go to the playoffs we're all 0-0. So you know what happened this weekend? A whole bunch of nothing. Because the greedy MLB wants a wild card. They want more people in the playoffs so they make more fucking money. Because, you know, you can't make enough fucking money. In defense of Major League Baseball, the Federal Reserve is a private corporation that prints the money for this country. So they keep us all running on the wheel. Even those guys, with their mistresses and their yachts and their masquerade parties and all that, to the point they have to keep adding rounds of baseball. See, like right now as a Red Sox fan, I would be excited that we swept the Yankees if there wasn't a fucking wild card that just negates the whole thing. So, what is all that that meant was maybe if we meet the Yankees, maybe 50-50 if we meet the Yankees in the playoffs. If we continue to win the way we do, the first two games of the series will be played at Fenway. That's all that meant. Okay? So everybody, just stand down and fucking relax. Dude, I got a bet with my agent and Paul Verzey. I bet him $50 each. I've been doing it the last two seasons. We bet the Red Sox-Yankees series. You know, whoever wins, you know, the regular season series, right? And then if we go to the playoffs, I think it'll bump up to $100 a game each, right? Keeps it fun. It got me back into baseball, and I am fucking loving baseball now, right? Those two guys, they had their fucking head in the oven. It was hilarious. Fucking hilarious. It's just like, you guys are Yankee. We've been up 18 games on you guys, and you came back. What the fuck is wrong with you? Jesus Christ. Just packing it in. It made me actually question both of them as human beings. I really hope they hear this. You know? Verzey right now, you can't rob a bank with that guy. The second anybody goes, like, if Ric Flair walked by and went, woo! You know, he would think the cops were coming, and he would just pack it in. He would think it was over. Now I got to be thinking my agent, you know, when a promoter pushes back a little bit, he's not getting me the best deal. Anyway, so there's plenty of time left. I am really looking forward to when the Red Sox have the Indians, and then we also play the Astros are the two that I'm paying attention to. We play the Astros on September 7th, 8th, and 9th, and I'm hoping Justin Verlander is pitching because I want to see how we do against their best. And then we got some, you know, yeah, we got one series in August. I don't have internet access here for some fucking reason. But in September, we got the Indians on the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. And then I believe we close out September. I always think that, don't they play for like the first three, four games in October? But we have the Yankees 28, 29, 30, if not October 1st. Maybe my cell phone will work here. Like, how funny is that? You have 48 games left. You're up 9.5 games on this one team that you're still going to play six more times, and everybody's going, yeah, man, it's fucking over. I'll tell you right now, that's why most people's dreams don't come true. You know, not because of the patriarchal fucking structure, whatever the fuck people are saying nowadays. It's because you quit. All right? And I'm not saying that things aren't unfair out there, but like nobody gives a fuck. Everybody's too busy trying to keep their shit afloat to have time to give a shit about you and your fucking dream. All right? So why don't you grow the fuck up? I'm just trying to fill time right here, people. I don't mean to fucking come down on you, man. What's next? October. No games scheduled. Wow, look at that. No games in October. I can't remember the last time they finished the regular season in September. That's kind of cool. They're playing the World Series in like November now. I guess they got to get ready for all the playoffs, all the rounds of the playoffs. Anyways, all right, let's read some. So anyways, it was great to see them win all those fucking games. It's nice to have that kind of a lead, but I am by no means thinking that this is over by any stretch of the means. I will think that it's over when we're up 9.5 games with 8 games left and the Yankees are out of the wild card too. That's when it's over. other than that, it's game on there. All right, Framebridge, everybody. If you've been listening to this show, oh, wait, what the fuck am I doing? I'm reading the goddamn advertising. All right, podcast comment. Hey, Bill, on your latest episode, oh, Jesus Christ, I really feel like I'm going to get shit here. You said you don't appeal to women, but just wanted to let you know you have a... Okay, that creeped me out. All right. Just for the record, I'm 50 years old. That was from a 23-year-old. I swear to God, if I fucking sat across the table from a 23-year-old, I'd give her a rattle. Who's your little woogie bookie? Why we hate other redheads? Jesus Christ. Hey, what's up, Billy No Glutes? I was listening to an old podcast when you were talking about the Paper Planes music video and that a group of redheads made you feel weird. Yeah, it was weird to see it because you never see us. You never see just a giant group of redheads. You know, we're like the spice in the stew. You know what I mean? We're not the beef in the stew, right? I can say that I totally agree with you on that part, but I would actually go a little bit further with it. Of course you would say, and say that I hate or despise other redheads. Oh, this is a self-hating redhead. I didn't say I was a self-hating redhead. Oh, Jesus, here's my reason, though. They make me look bad. Simple. I'm a normal guy, kind of tall, try to hit the gym often enough so I have what you once called a standing six-pack. But most of the fucking redheads are a fucking disgrace. Just out of shape, dorky, unathletic, unfunny losers with no charm. Don't get me wrong. There are exceptions, but not many. Anyway, go fuck yourself and bring your balding redheaded ass to Iceland, you cunt. I think with any group that gets picked on, you're hypersensitive in a negative way to the way the people around you are behaving. Because I know I've seen the big, pasty, freckled, shapeless arms that for some reason they're wearing like a tank top. I definitely agree with you. I do feel, not necessarily with women, I do feel with guys. As a redheaded male, there's a certain level of shape you have to stay in because you're already going to get picked on. So I do understand some of that, but I am not I'm not self-hating. I don't hate the way I look. I actually think I'm a good-looking guy. I do make fun of myself, but like, I don't know. I don't get like I never been anything else, so I don't know what the fuck, you know, that would be like. But I do feel bad for redheaded kids now because of you know, that South Park episode, like the level of shit that probably started. You know, can I blame? No, I can't blame them. I'm too big of a fan. I would say maybe whenever that Kick a Ginger Day came around, like I'm so glad. I can't tell if I'm glad that that wasn't around when I was a kid or I'm kind of jealous because at least you knew what day to fake sick on, you know, as a redhead. Like, whereas when I was coming up, it kind of seemed like that was more of a week rather than a day. But whatever. You know what? What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. All right. Tom Cruise helicopter. Okay. Hey there, Billy Bald the Wise. Billy Bald the Wise. I always feel like this. I should be figuring out what the fuck that means. Bald the Wise. The Wise. Is that another English word, kind of? Billy Bald the Wise. Is that like a character? I don't know. Anyways, just wanted to hear your thoughts on the new Mission Impossible film. I have to see it. I haven't seen it yet. I'm seeing three movies this week. I'm seeing the Mr. Rogers movie. I'm seeing Eighth Grade. And I'm seeing Mission Impossible. All right, so I'm seeing something from my childhood. I'm seeing how millennials deal with being in the eighth grade. And then I'm just watching a big summer blockbuster. So I feel like I got a nice fucking, you know, smorgasbord of what the fuck's going on out there. All right, just want to hear your thoughts on the new Mission Impossible and how Tom Cruise is notorious for doing his own stunts. Do people understand what the word notorious means? That's basically known usually for a bad thing. I'd say he's famous for doing his own stunts. I feel like a lot of people don't know what infamous and notorious means. Anyways, I read he learned how to fly a helicopter in about 3 months for the film. As a pilot yourself, that seems like a short amount of time for someone to do the action sequence and stunt work that was displayed. Check out the link below. Thanks and go fuck yourself. Well, I think there is a lot of this, they're trying to sell a movie. So whatever he did, they're going to shrink it down. But I don't care how long or how short the amount of time he did. What he did took an unbelievable amount of fucking balls. And I was talking to some director. He goes, I can tell you without a doubt, they definitely shot that shit on the last day. Meaning if he killed himself, that they could easily put a stuntman in there and they would still have a movie. I don't know. I've just only seen the movie clip, but there is no fucking way ever in my piloting career would I ever do anything like that. Ever. That's all I can fucking tell you. No fucking way. I like to live. You know, that's my shit, and I don't have a problem with stuntmen. I really don't. You know? I don't want to see them act, and they don't want to see me jump in front of a fucking moving car, and I stay out of their lane. I like how I'm acting like I'm at Tom Cruise's level. I just, like, that shit where he jumped from one building to another and they kept it in the film and he, like, broke his foot or something like that. Yeah, that's like Jackie Chan does shit like that. And then Tom takes it to the next level where he's like, was he, as far as I can tell, he essentially just nosed the helicopter over and just was flying straight down at the earth while spinning, I believe. Added that to it, which I really believe is hard enough to do in a fucking airplane. Forget about it in a helicopter. Like, I don't understand. I don't know how that works. But, you know, hats off to that guy. That guy is, and he can also fly like a fucking jet. Like a G5, like just get in the thing and fly to England. Like, I believe he's that level of a pilot. I would tell you, though, I would definitely rather fly with John Travolta because it seems like, you know, he dresses up like the captain and he just, you know, straight and level and just sort of flies. Where I feel like Tom Cruise would be like, oh, shit, look at that. And he would just do a fucking barrel roll just to scare you so he can laugh at you. I remember him a long time ago telling a story on fucking Letterman where they were up front and they thought it was funny and they depressurized the cabin and they made the guy in the back pass out. They didn't like 100%, but they somehow made the oxygen, I don't know, the mixture of it. I don't know if there was too much oxygen, so he fucking overloaded on it and got lightheaded and passed out. I don't know, but all I remember, he was crying laughing when he said it. And I was like, yeah, that guy's fucking, guy's nuts. But I'm definitely going to see the movie. And I'm a huge Tom Cruise fan. I didn't, you know, he's one of those guys, I didn't realize how big a fan I was until one day they listed all his movies. And I realized I saw like 80% of them. That's kind of like when you go to, somebody drags you to a concert. You're like, I don't want to, I know who they are. I'm a radio fan of them. And then you get there and you're like, oh, fuck, they sing this song too? Oh my God, dude, they're fucking awesome. Next thing you know, you come home, you're downloading all their music. That's what Tom Cruise is like. Well, I can't wait to see the movie. It's perfect. It's got Tom Cruise. It's got helicopters, and they shot a lot of it in Paris. I mean, I'm in. It's over. Anyways, lady asking for advice. Hey, Billy No Buns. I'm loving this. You motivate me. I'm going to the gym right after this, and I'm doing some squats. I'm a 23-year-old woman. Oh, by the way, I got one of those little fucking, you know, those little foam rollers. I already had one of those, but I've been using that religiously. And then I got one of those little balls that you can just roll out your fucking legs, your glutes, your back, the whole fucking thing when you're on the road. If you're an old person like me, it is a game changer. Anyways, I'm a 23-year-old woman from London. and I love your podcast. Oh, thank you. I'm crushing it with the 23-year-old ladies this week. You always say you want to hear from more of us ladies. I do, because it gets too one-sided. So here I am. I would love your advice on my current situation. My parents were quite strict when I was growing up, so I have never been on a date before. Yeah, I would say that goes a little beyond quite strict. I would say suffocating. I still live at home. I'm studying for my master's. They are less strict now as my brother is now married, and they are now more comfortable with me dating. Well, what the fuck is their problem? Hey, dude, that's like sad. You should, you know, I'm not saying go out and fucking, you know, get gangbanged here, but, you know, go out and, you know, go on a date. Experience finding love, losing it, and fucking that weird thing when you finally erase their number out of their phone. I mean, I can't believe you missed all that. Anyways, I'm studying part-time, and I am working for the rest of the time. How do I go about meeting new people? The people I work with are all in their mid-40s and don't really socialize outside of work. Any advice would be appreciated. All right, number one, don't fuck any of those 40-year-olds, okay? You work with them, and they're old. Don't do it, okay? God knows where the fuck those old dicks have been. Stay away from them, all right? You're like a fucking one of those, you know those nerds by the Star Wars action figures, and it's the big thing if the box has never been opened. Your box has never been opened, all right? It's worth a lot of money there. And also, you're asking me how to meet people when I've been out of the dating scene for like 15 years. I'm 50 years old, and at no point in my life was I still living at home studying for my master's while having a job. I love that you felt enough about me that you thought at some point in my life I attained that level of success and was that pressed for time. How do I go about meeting new people? Don't you guys just like go on apps, dating apps? You know what? I'm going to phone a friend on this one. The rest of the podcast listeners. Guys, how do you do it? Ladies, I should ask the ladies. How in this day and age could someone with a vagina, 23-year-old vagina that has not had the seal broken yet, how can they go out into the dating world, avoid the dirty dicks, and actually have a nice entry into the dating world, a positive experience that's going to make her not be jaded and think that maybe her parents were right for fucking, you know, keeping her chained to a radiator for the first quarter of century of her life? How should she go about doing it? I feel like dating apps, there's a lot of guys on there just trying to fuck, you know? And then there's these, no, that's that app. That's that app where people are just trying to hook up. This app is the more serious app. Well, what's to prevent someone to go on there and just act like they're looking for a relationship when they just want to bang you? So, the first thing I would say, if you have the time, is you need some sort of activity that you're involved in that involves you socializing with, you know, men and women, basically. I don't know what it is. You know, going to bars, getting hammered and shit, that's usually not going to, you're not going to meet a nice guy there for the most part. I would say, I don't know. Join a softball league. You meet a lot of women there. Volleyball. I'm old. Fucking start riding a dirt bike. Maybe you'll meet some guys out there on the trail. The dusty dicks. I don't know how to help you here. I'm sorry. I gotta phone a friend here. You guys gotta help me out here. Help this lady. Okay? Put on in the subject. Put what 23 fresh box. All right, fresh box 23. Let's call it that. All right, and you email me your advice, okay? And then we can fucking figure it out. We can help this lady out because you know, I have empathy for you that you're late to the game. I showed up late to the game. I showed up at about fucking halftime. down 40 points. All right, dilemma. Would you rather get punched in the head by Mike Tyson in his prime or get kicked squared in the nuts by Bruce Lee? Oh, easy. Bruce Lee, without a doubt. Without a doubt. I would go to a sperm bank, have my sperm frozen before I had that happen. And, you know, then I would still have my brain intact to intelligently be able to tell the woman that I ended up falling in love with why I allowed the greatest Asian of all time to kick me square in the nuts. I mean, Mike Tyson, I'd still have my balls, but I might be drooling on them afterwards as I sit there. That was a disgusting image. I didn't mean to say that. All right. For the Tyson choice. Oh, I'm sorry. Your hands are tied behind your back. Okay, now I have details. Your hands are tied behind your back. Tyson can wind up and is told to cause maximum damage to your head with one punch. It's going to be his famous overhand right. Yeah, no, fuck that. Fuck that. You know, there's another thing, too, is there's way better footage on Mike Tyson than there is on Bruce Lee. For the Bruce Lee choice, you are spread eagle and cannot defend yourself, I assumed. You can only wear a European man thong to give you a semblance of dignity. I appreciate that. Bruce Lee is told to cause maximum damage to your manhood with one kick. He will get a running start. Do you choose Mike Tyson or Bruce Lee? I still got to go with Bruce Lee. You know what I mean? What is my quality of life going to be if Mike Tyson gives me permanent fucking brain damage, but my junk is still intact? All right? If Bruce Lee obliterates my dick and balls, but I've already frozen my fucking sperm, I can still have kids. I don't know. I let my wife fuck other guys, I guess. I don't know what to do at that point. But, you know, I could still have my brain. But then my brain would be all day long in a loop going, you don't have any junk. You don't have any junk. You don't have any junk. Yeah, but you know what? If I still had my brain, I could be smart enough to figure out how to kill myself. All right, so I would go with the Bruce Lee. You know what would be funnier than watching me get kicked in the balls, spread eagle, wearing a European man thong? Is, you know, the only thing funnier than that would be the yell that I let out as Bruce Lee was running at me. I think it would sound a little like this. I think it would just be like, it would just... And then watching my inner thighs flexing as I tried hopelessly to try to close my legs. Oh, that would be the worst, too. If your legs were tied spread eagle, I mean, immediately when you get kicked in the balls, you go into the fetal position. I would not be able to do that. You know, which I would think it would make it your body stay in even more of panic mode. Because when you go into fetal position, you know, it kind of covers up your junk unless you have old man balls and they squirt out the back, right? At which point somebody walks by and accidentally kicks them, you know, like when you fucking think you clear the door and you actually stub your toe. All right, that was disgusting. Okay, that's the podcast, man. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you to everybody that came out in Rochester. Thank you to all the guys I almost said Rough and Rowdy. Everybody at Barstool Sports, Rough and Rowdy. I had such a great time. And thank you to all the competitors that showed up and entertained everybody. I had such a great time. If there's a way for me to get to the one in Kentucky, I'm going to be there. If I can't, I'm going to be watching it either in Connecticut or in Boston, Massachusetts with a bunch of my friends. That's it. Old Freckles is in town this week. And I think my next date I have is in Las Vegas on August 18th, I believe. That's it. Go fuck yourselves, and I'll check in on you on Thursday.